know, this morning I am excited, not only because I woke up and the sun was shining, but and it feels like spring has finally started. And we've a little bit of warmth in the air, which is always nice. But I'm excited because I believe God's given me a word for this morning that's fresh, it's new, and I believe God is going to do something today in us, both as a church and as a people and as individuals. And as you've just seen from our announcement, we're going to be starting a series next week called Overcome. And I originally had planned to do it this week. And Overcome, we're looking at John 16:33, where Jesus says, "In this world, you will have trouble." I don't think there's a truer word said. We will have troubles for sure. And we all face troubles in our life, and troubles often come in the form of many different things, whether it's fear, doubt, worry, anxiety. But then Jesus says, "But take heart, I have overcome the world. I've overcome your troubles." And so we're going to be looking at the next few weeks in that and seeing how we can overcome fear and doubt and worry and anxiety and truly allow Jesus to overcome them for us. And as I was preparing this week to start this series and look at our first week, I just felt God speak to me and give me a different word. And I felt him say this, that you may try and overcome the world. You may try and overcome with your own strength and your own ability. But when he is in us and overflowing in us, overcoming the world just becomes natural. When his spirit is overflowing in us. That's the title of my message today, is Overflow. And I'd love maybe this morning you come and I want you to be expectant, engaged. One of our cultures, part of our culture is in engaging and responding. But also maybe this morning you want to take some notes and to be, I believe God is going to speak to you and maybe share something with you that is just for you. And so I just encourage you to do that as well this morning. But during the week, as I said, I felt God say, overflow, overflow. You know, last week we just celebrated two things. Firstly, on Good Friday, Jesus died and we celebrated his crucifixion and the purpose behind that. He died so we may live, to save us from our sins. But then on Easter Sunday, we celebrated together as Jesus was resurrected. And we've seen that 2,000 years ago on Easter Sunday, and the first Easter Sunday, he was resurrected. And then from that moment on, he spends 40 days with his disciples, teaching them, training them, and preparing them to establish the local church. That's what he does, because the whole purpose from Jesus coming from heaven to earth was to come to establish his church, his body, his people. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, he tells his disciples that he's going to leave them with something as he goes to be in heaven, sitting at the right hand of his Father. But he says, "Don't worry, I'm going, but I'm going to leave you something. I'm going to leave you someone." And in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "On one occasion, while he was eating with them, his disciples, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem." In other words, do not go out and try and do it on your own. Do not start this. Do not go and try and be carrying on my mission and my ministry. But wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. Jesus spoke about this throughout the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And he talks about the gift from God, which is God. God's gift is God, and it is the Holy Spirit, also described as our helper, our comforter, who has been given to us as we place our faith in Jesus Christ. We not only receive salvation in him, but we also receive his gift that's found in the form of the Holy Spirit, who's been given to us to direct us, to guide us, to walk in the ways of the Lord. And he says in verse 5, "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." You will be baptized, you will be immersed in, you will become so full to the brim that you will be overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And as it happened as Jesus said, and not too long after that, on the day of Pentecost, as the 120 disciples were meeting in the upper room, the Spirit came, filled them up to overflow, and out of the overflow of the Spirit, the church was born. The church was born and established 2,000 years ago, as we now know it, as a local church, and that's the church that Open Arms is a part of. You want to know what you know, who are you? What are you a part of? Where do you come from? We are coming from the church that Jesus Christ first established. That's the church that we're a part of. That's the church that we're formed from. That's the church that we are of, and we will always be till the day that we die, and the church will live on. This is the church that Jesus came to establish, and I believe that Jesus is here. He is with us. His gift that he has given us is here. It's here today. It's here in Clayton Hotel, Leopardstown, wherever it is, whatever. It leaves with you today, but Jesus is here, and I believe that he wants to fill you up. And he wants to fill you up to overflow. To overflow. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, it says, "May the God of hope, Jesus, fill you up with his joy and with his peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." That Jesus would fill you with his Spirit, fill you with all joy and peace, that as you trust in him, so that hope may overflow into your marriage. So that hope may overflow into your children. So hope may overflow into your career and into your hopes and your dreams and your passions. So hope may overflow into your future, into your family, into your friendships. So that it would overflow in and through you into others. For God says that he has plans for you. Plans to bring you a hope and a future that is filled with overflow, with joy and peace and hope. A hope for your future, a future that will be filled with hope, a future that will be filled up to overflow with his presence in you, realizing God's promises through you, that we will be full up to overflow. And maybe you're here today and maybe you know God, or at least you know of him. Maybe you used to go to church or through our church, or maybe you even experience God in your life. But what I want to ask you today is this. Have you been filled with God? Have you been filled with God? I believe wholeheartedly that in our Christian walk, God has more for us. There's always more. There's never enough. We never run out of God. We never wear him out or tire him out with our prayers. There's always more because he is more. He has more. And he has more for us. And I believe today that he wants to fill us up to overflow where we're no longer dry, that we're no longer thirsty, that his Spirit refreshes our spirit. And his living water quenches our thirst, and not only quenches our thirst, but gives us a hunger and a desire to see others have what we have. That others may be filled up with hope. That others may have that others who are thirsty, who are searching, who are feeling hopeless, who are searching for more, who are searching to be that thirst, that longing, that need inside of them, that will be quenched as Jesus fills them up to overflow. That they too may experience his joy and his peace and his kindness and his grace and his love and his mercy. That what each and every one of us experience, that we would be able to bring that to others. And I believe that this is the church that God is calling us to establish. This is the church that God is calling us to become a part of. The same church that he established 2,000 years ago, that will be a church that is filled with grace, filled with hope, filled with peace, filled with love, filled up to overflow. That as people who we may bring, people and our friends and our families, we may bring into this room, bring into our lives, that they too will be filled up to overflow. Many today, sadly, many today view church in a whole different light. We believe that the church, this church, the church that Jesus has come to establish, is alive. It is moving. There is something happening. Something is shifting in the atmosphere. But many today view church as a dry place. They may even see church as a dead place. Because church has been somewhere that takes your life, doesn't give you life. And this is the church that of old, this is the church that has been formed, but this was never the church that Jesus intended to come to establish. This is not the church that Jesus died for, that he was resurrected for, that he left heaven to come to earth in physical form, to be with us, to be man and living around us. No, he came to establish a church of life. To establish a church of living water that would quench our thirsty souls, that would feed our hungry spirits. He came to establish a church that was full of life and living water. For he said in John chapter 4, verse 14, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Now, here's what I want to say today. What if we were this church? What if we were this church that he came to establish, that we were a church of living water, that we were a life-giving church, that we were a church that was known for what it was for rather than what it's against, that it was a church that was known for quenching thirsty souls, for feeding hungry spirits, that we would be able to give what we have to others, to water those who are dry, those who are weary, those who are tired of religion, those who are tired of rules and regulations and do's and don'ts and how you should do this and don't do that, but a church that has been able to fill others up with his spirit, filled up to overflow in their lives, filled with hope, and a hope that gives them strength and vitality and energy and a hope for tomorrow, a hope for their future, a hope for their children's future and their children's children's future. That's what we want to be a part of. That's the church that we want to establish. A hope that they wouldn't have to work for, they wouldn't have to earn, they wouldn't have to pay for, they wouldn't have to sell themselves out for, but a hope that it's free to all those who place their faith in Jesus Christ. Do you want to be a part of this church?
Yes.
Is this the church that you want to be a part of?
Yes.
A life-giving church. You know, as we were starting to prepare for and plan for this church, that God first placed that vision in myself and my wife's heart 6 years ago. And as we were getting ready, and just in the months and leading up to it, I felt God ask me this question. What kind of church do you want to establish? What kind of church do you want to see? Because there's all different kinds of church. There's all different styles and slants, but it's the substance that matters about the church. We have a certain style and a certain culture, and others have a certain style and a certain culture. There's different kinds of church, but what? There's all different models, but what's the mission? What's the meaning, the purpose? What kind of church do you want to see and do you want to be? And as I thought about this and wrestled with it and pondered on it, and I felt God placed this in my heart, that I want us to be a life-giving church. A life-giving church with a vision to see people experience life change through Jesus Christ. That we would be a church that's life-giving and life-changing. Where our mission and purpose and everything that we do and everything that we for is centered around life change. Seeing lives changed. Seeing souls saved. Seeing marriages restored. Relationships renewed, addictions and habits being broken, chains of bondage set off people, where minds and hearts that have been tortured, that they would be healed and transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit, through Jesus, that we would see lives change, miracles happen, Jesus do something supernatural in and through us, that we would be a church with a vision to bring revival. To revive that which has otherwise died. To revive dreams, hopes, passions. To restore Jesus at the center. That we would be a church with a vision to bring healing to those who are hurting. A church with a vision to bring new life to those who are dead spiritually. With no hope, no fight, nothing to live for. That we would be a church to bring purpose to a people with no drive, no vision. That we would be a church to bring contentment to people who strive for such something to make them someone. That we would be a church to bring peace to those who are in turmoil. To bring grace to those who have tried it on their own and failed. To bring healing and acceptance to those who have been abused and wronged. To bring freedom and liberty to those who have been gripped with shame and guilt. That we would be a church that brings confidence to those who live lives of fear and worry. That we would be a church that not only reaches people, but touches people's hearts and minds. Not that they would fall in love with a church or with a leader, that they would fall in love with Jesus. That Jesus would be their hope. that Jesus would be their refuge, that he would be their comfort, that he would be the rock that they look to for rescue, that he would be the friend and the companion that they look to when they're lonely and in need, and love, that we would be a church that brings love, not just any love, but the love of Jesus to every man, woman, and child in our beautiful nation. This is the church that we want to be. This is the church. Do you want to be this church? Do you want to be this church? Because this is not a church for anyone. Sorry. This is a church for everyone. Don't write that up. Forget what I said. This is a church for everyone. But it's not just a church for anyone. In other words, we are open arms, open to every single person. But we're on mission. We have a purpose. We have a calling that we believe that God has called us to see people's lives changed. That's what we're all about. That's what we want to see happen. We want to see people's lives change. Those who don't know Jesus, that they come to know Jesus. Those who do know Jesus, that they come to know him even more. Those who do know Jesus who are struggling in every area of your life, because God knows there is troubles that come our way, but when his spirit is living and active in us, overflowing through us, overcoming the world, overcoming our troubles, seeing his mission living and active in us is just natural. This is the church that we believe that God is calling us to be. Today I want to, for a few moments, I want to share with you the church that I believe that God is calling us to be. Because I believe this is only our fifth week. We're only setting out, but we believe that today is the day. Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. We're not waiting for tomorrow. We believe that God has called us to establish this church now for tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, that what we do today will impact others in the future. And so I believe that God has given me 10 values, 10 core values, 10 beliefs that he is calling us to be in. If you want to take notes, I encourage you to take notes, because I want you too to be able to adopt these and to become a part of our church. That we would be a people that's not just led by a man, but it's led by a Savior, Jesus, our Lord and Jesus Christ. And this is the church that he's calling us to be. Firstly, a generous church. Generous in spirit and in action. Generous through everything that we do with our time, our attitude, and resources. That we are known for being a generous people. Secondly, a real church. We want to be real. What you see here is what we are in the background. What I am in church is the same I am at home. We want to be a church that is okay with being ourselves. That we're confident in the skin that we're in, and we don't take ourselves too seriously. Thirdly, a positive church. We speak life. We speak life over ourselves. We speak life over others. We always believe that it's possible. If God said it, it will be so. It is always possible. We want to adopt a can-do-it mentality. If he's given us the mission and the purpose, we can do it through him. Fourthly, a new life church. We are passionate about new people finding hope and life in Jesus. But also, we're passionate about seeing our people seeing new life in every area of their lives, every facet of their lives, that we will be a people who don't just give Jesus a portion of our life, but give him every area of our life. Number five, a family church. We love community, fun, connection, and family. We are for each other. We are with each other. We are behind each other. We believe in creating attractive environments with an atmosphere of family, life, and community. We want people to have fun come to church. This is not a place that you endure, but this is a place that you enjoy. This is a place that you enjoy coming to and you enjoy leaving. That our people and our kids and our youth and our young adults in every single area. We're not a youth church. We're not a young church. We're not an old church. We're not a this church or that church. We are the church, a multi-generational, multicultural church that is family. We are family. Number six, an excellence church. We pursue excellence, using what's in our hands, doing the best with what we have, and stewarding well what God has blessed us with. I am a detail freak at times and can often be a control freak, but that's something that God's working on, Mike. And I sometimes have to, Brian's nodding in the back of the head. I sometimes have to walk away and step away because I can see all the things that are wrong. But I believe that that's something. Why? Because I want to create an environment that is attractive. When people walk into, it's warm. There's an atmosphere. That this is a place that you don't feel awkward in, that you feel comfortable in. That this is the environments that we create is an excellence. Excellence is not perfection. Excellence is doing the best with what we have in our hands. It's stewarding what God has blessed us with. I believe that in every area of our lives. When we steward well what God has given us, He gives us more. We see it throughout Scripture. He gives us more. When you use well what God has given you, He gives you more. Number seven, a learning church. We don't have it all together. We are not experts. We are students. We are students who are always willing to learn, to grow, to change, no matter what it takes. We are a learning church. Number eight, a next generation church. We are all about raising and releasing the next generation. Our heart is to invest in them, to equip them, to empower them, to live out God's call in their lives. Well, I've got two young boys, soon to be three, could be very soon. My wife is 34 weeks pregnant. She's walking around in the back saying, I feel like I've got contractions. I'm like, okay, wait till I'm finished preaching. No. My son, first son is Levi, he's 4 years old. My second boy is Liam, he's almost 2 years old. My third son is on his way. I speak over them. I believe that they're going to change the world. I speak confidence over them. I believe that God is going to do something in you. We, every day, bringing my son to school, he goes to preschool, we play this song, and I say, Levi will be confident. He is strong. He is courageous. He is brave. Because I want to speak into him now so that when he's 14 and when he's 24, he's living out of what I've invested in him when he was 4 years old. We believe that for your children, that what we invest in them, no matter how old they are, they may be 18, 28, 38, no matter what age, age is not a fact. It's the youth that's in us. And we believe that what we speak in today, we will see come to part. The seeds that we sow in today, we're going to sow into large, healthy, living young men and women. Yeah. That's what we want to see. Because the church is alive when we invest in the next generation. The church will live on. I am, what you see now is what has been invested in me when I was only a young boy. I believe the same is going to happen. We've got leaders in this church, doctors, politicians, future world changers, movers and shakers. And I want to encourage you that you play a part. No matter what age you are, the next generation is only a few years younger than you. You speak into them. You say, oh, we believe in you. We believe greatness is in you. And we want to speak into you because I'm telling you now, each and every one of us are only here because those have gone before us and spoke encouragement and life over us. Number nine, an empowering church. We believe the best about others. We want to help people discover their purpose and realize God's given potential and empower them to live them out. This is not a church that's a platform church. It is not a church that's a me church. It's not about the preacher. It's not about the leaders. It's about the people. We believe that God has called us to run with a vision so that the people will be His hands and feet. The people are His church. It's not about a leader. It's not about the head. It's about the people. So we're about empowering people, you and me, and every area of our life to live out God's call in our life. Number 10, a national church. We are part of something bigger than ourselves. We are for Ireland. We want to be an influence in Ireland. And we want to reach Ireland with others who have a heart to do the same. We are a national church. We are for our city and for our nation. We are a community church and a local church, but with a national vision. This is the church that God is calling us to be. And here are seven things, you can see it's quick things, that are important for me as your pastor. This is important for me. These 10 things I'm calling us to be a part of, and these 7 things I'm calling us to be a part of as a church. Number one, our preaching. Our preaching, every word that you hear spoken from this platform and from our pulpit, will be inspiring, it will be encouraging, and it will be practical for people easy to remember and easy to apply to their lives. Number two, our worship. that our worship will be powerful, soaked in the presence of God, and easy for all to engage with. Number three, our kids' ministry will be amazing. Fun for each child that comes there, and secure enough that each parent feels comfortable enough leaving their child with us. That our kids' church will be an environment where kids are learning about Jesus and dragging their parents to come to church. Because on the first Sunday, we heard a couple of testimonies of kids crying leaving church because they were so happy here. That's what we want to see happen. Why? Because our kids will be attracted, because as his word says, when you're planted in a house, those who are planted in the house will what? They will flourish. They will flourish. Better is one day in his house than a thousand elsewhere. Our kids, if they know, I want to be in his house, because it's in his house where I grow as a young man, as a young woman. We want to have a kids' church that's amazing. Number four, our small groups. As a church grows bigger, we want to grow smaller. As small groups is where we have church in as small, where it would be a place that people are able to connect, that they're able to call that group their group, a group that they are pastored for, prayed for, encouraged, challenged in their daily walk with Jesus, coming around a group of men and women that spur us on. Number five, that our new people will be able to easily become a part of our church and integrate it into the life of our church through Next Steps, which is happening next week. If you want to know more and you want to hear more, you want to become a part of our church, come next week to Next Steps. Become part of our team. Our team are the most amazing team in the world, in my opinion. We've got a great team. A team we're full of energy and enthusiasm. Why? Because we've got a mission to see lives change. If you want to become part of our church, become part of our team and also our groups. Number six, everyone will be given an opportunity to commit their lives to Jesus. Not only that, they'll be placed on a path and a process to help them in their newfound faith. Number seven, again, our next generation will be able to call Open Arms Church their church. They'll be excited to come to church. They feel that at home here. They feel that included and given every opportunity to grow in their gifting and their calling. This is the church that I believe that God is calling us to be. This is the culture that I believe that God is calling us to set. This week and next week and every week after that. It's not a church that just happens on Sunday morning, but it starts on Sunday and it flows through to the week. A church and a people that as we go into our homes and into our communities and into our with our co-workers, and we're going in and we're bringing this culture that we've set here, this life-giving culture, life-changing culture, that we too be able to see that as we go out, because we are the hands and feet, and we will be a people that are full up to overflow, that we are full of new life, full of hope, and bringing hope so that others may too see hope in their lives and see their lives changed through Jesus Christ. Yeah. Do you want to be a part of this church?
Yes.
Do you want to be a part of this church? This is a church for everyone. Do you want this to be your church? This is the church that we believe that God is calling us to be. Hey, would you just stand? We're going to bring our worship team back up. Overflow. Overflow. This morning I pray that you are challenged, encouraged, but I want to leave you today with something to think about and to bring into your week. And here's the question. What area of your life is dry that you need God to water? What area of your life is dry that you need God to water? Where do you need refreshment? Where do you need refreshment? You know, this week I wrote out three areas in my life that I want to see God move in. Three areas in my life, and I'm going to pursue counseling. I'm going to pursue wise advice, wise counsel. Why? Because I want to see God do something even greater in my life. But not only am I going to seek wise advice and counseling, I'm also going to seek wise advice to Jesus. Because he's the greatest counselor. He is the one, in a moment, can break things over our lives. So I'm going to do both, and I believe in both. I believe in what people have to offer, and I believe in what Jesus has to offer. So I want to ask you today, where do you need refreshment? And will you allow Him to refresh you? Will you allow Him to fill you up to overflow? So maybe you just close your eyes. Just take that moment. Ask yourself, what area do you need refreshment? What area do you need Him to move in? You know what that is already. I'm just going to ask that you just bring it to Him right now. Would you fill us up, Jesus? Would you fill us up to overflow? Fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with your Spirit.